Thanks so much. I think there's a theme already that we've seen tonight about God answering prayer, and that's very much going to be coming out from what I've got to speak about. Don't preach very often, but the last time I preached was last week. I had an unanticipated request during a service in Kenya to come up to the front and share what the Lord had given me. And fortunately, I had in my back pocket a little notebook that I'd been putting some verses in from that I'd been reading while I was over there, and picking out verses that were encouraging to me. And so I was a bit able to tie it in with some of the things that had already been said in a very long service. I didn't extend the service too much, just sort of 10 minutes. But it's these verses in Philippians that I sort of coined the phrase Philippian nuggets, because they were like gold to me in encouraging me. And I thought I'd look at some of those later, and combine it with just examples and testimony of how God has worked over the last couple of weeks in my situation. First of all, I'll just share a little bit of the background to the visit before I talk about God's goodness, for the sake of those who may not know and those that may be listening online. So first of all, the context for the visit. This was described quite well by Matt at the service two Sundays ago before I left, following a report to the missions committee earlier this year. And he told you that, those of you that were here, that Kenyaway UK is a small charity doing work in Kenya. We call it Emmanuel Home over there, but amongst a shrinking number of orphans. If you didn't get one of the newsletters that was distributed in April, I've got a few more copies of those, and just help yourself to that. And we as a charity are committed to seeing the current group of youngsters through their education. And it was back in 2017 that we recognised that within 5 or 6 years we would need to be making changes to reduce assets such as buildings and staff and things, and pass responsibility of the remaining few children and young people to another organisation. That our desire was to finish strong. And that's a phrase that has been used elsewhere in this church, if you remember, with Mike Howell's retirement. And I was very grateful for the prayer support that was given on that Sunday evening. It was precious to me. And my preparations for this Kenyan trip, I knew I needed to go over there. I'm chairman of the charity. I booked the best flights and times that I could find, and felt about the peace about that decision. But actually, unusually, I didn't know how well that time period would fit with some of the key people over in Kenya that I needed to see. And also, I didn't know quite what I was going to be doing. Usually I have a detailed itinerary. But I knew that in part my visit was going to be about seeking the Lord's will for the future, and feeding back to the UK committee so that we can see how this plan for the future might see reality. And I mentioned at that service 2 weeks ago that in my preparation, it's a bit like kitchen scales, that usually before a trip over there, there's a sort of balance of good things you're expecting to happen, but a few things, issues that you might need to deal with on the other side. And some information that I received shortly before going over there, I described it on that night like a pound weight being put on the issues side of that balance. It was as significant of that as that, and it gave a totally new emphasis to the trip. There were potential issues relating to financial control and records, frictions amongst the team over there, uncertainties about roles and responsibilities. I won't go into detail about that tonight, but the situation it put me in was that I was facing a very complex set of interrelated issues surrounding the key individuals who we as a charity rely upon to do the right thing for us in supporting the kids over there. And the prospects for the trip became extremely daunting. I was very apprehensive, and Jill was naturally concerned for me as well. So how did the Lord prepare me for the visit? I shared this on that Sunday night, but just for completeness, just to put it in the picture. When Linda spoke on the Sunday morning before I went, part of her challenge to us was that if we had burdens and struggles and things, or it could be anything, that we need to give over to the Lord to do that. And I did that. And I can honestly say that God gave me his peace from that time onwards and all through the trip. And so there's a challenge for us tonight. If any of us have an issue that we are facing, that we're dealing with, that's buzzing around our head or whatever, then take that opportunity of handing it over to God who loves us. Also, George and Ruth were great in praying for Jill and myself, but particularly for me in the visit. And they both shared words that the Lord gave them. Ruth said the word that she had was, "The Lord will go before you." And George said, I've only got two words. He said it was three. One was direction, and the other was no conflict. And it wasn't going to be clear what that meant, but as you'll see, God knew what he was saying. And partly based on those thoughts and also some of the things I asked for prayer on that Sunday evening, I sent these five prayer requests to our house group who would be praying regularly for me. Continuing assurance that the Lord had gone ahead of me. Wisdom and discernment as I review the work over there. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in any challenging conversations or circumstances. Personal protection and good health, and clarity of thought about God's direction for the future of the work. And I certainly appreciated knowing that people were praying for me along those sort of lines. Okay, the first chunk of Philippians nuggets that I've got. As I say, I had taken my little New Testament with me, and I started reading through Philippians for these verses. And the first set, I didn't group them like this when I was over there, but yesterday afternoon I grouped them like this in preparation for tonight. The first group I'd put under the title of God's Destiny for Us, and I was going to share these out for people to read, but for the sake of time I'll just read them through so that you can capture what I'm bringing out from this. Philippians 1:6, "He who began a good work in you and will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Philippians 3:12, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." You can understand why I was picking out these sort of verses as encouragements. Philippians 3:13-14. "Well, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And Philippians 3:20. "Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." Okay, I'm picking these out just from passages that have got other things to say to us, but I've grouped those together because it's about God's destiny for us. And how I can apply this to the sort of situation that I was in was that the issues that I faced in going over there almost seemed impossible to resolve. And it caused me to think, why did I ever get involved in this? Because it's not the first time that there's been big issues to resolve. And the story of Esther came to mind. because the Jews were being threatened by Haman, a man of great influence, who used deception and trickery to try and destroy the Jews. And it was an almost impossible situation for them. But Mordecai goes to Esther and he encourages her to speak to the king about it. It's a risky strategy, as you know from the story. If you speak to the king when you're not asked and beckoned to do that, then you it could be your end. And Esther was reluctant to do it. But Mordecai said to her, "Who knows but that you have come into your royal position for such a time as this." And I think that's a precious verse. God knows what he's doing. And perhaps God had got me involved for such a time as this, so that I'd be the one to fulfill his purposes. But none of us are indispensable. God could use somebody else. And in fact, Mordecai told Esther that if she didn't speak to the king, God would ensure relief and deliverance for the Jews would come from another place. But Esther and her family would suffer. So God can achieve things by more than one way. I don't know whether you've heard this story before. It's about a child in a Sunday school asking their teacher, "Miss, can God do anything?" And the Sunday school teacher says, "Well, God can't do anything that's wrong, but he's the God of the impossible. Of course God can do anything." And the child says, "Can he tie a knot that he can't undo?" And that's, I don't know what you would answer to that. But in terms of what I was facing, Satan had tied a knot. I certainly wouldn't be able to undo it myself, but God could. And the verses that we shared from Philippians encouraged me to press on with what was needed to be done in Kenya, knowing that God was with me. So here's a bit of testimony about how God answered some of those prayers. In Esther's case and in mine, Esther prepared herself and stepped out in faith and approached the king without his invitation. And so began the process that led to the downfall of Haman and the saving of the Jews. I went to Kenya with a real sense of God being with me. I needed time to discover for myself the truth of exactly what was going on, and without putting any of the people involved at risk in any way, which was going to be incredibly difficult, particularly as sometimes things can be presented to visitors in one way, but actually conceal the real truth. God was good. Two key individuals were largely unavailable to me in at least the first week, which gave me and an associate from Nairobi the opportunity to conduct unannounced visits to virtually all of the schools the kids go to, meet most of the kids, speak to guardians, teachers, head teachers and others, and gather a wealth of information that helped confirm what had and hadn't happened. In so many ways, circumstances and chance encounters, etc., showed how the Lord had indeed gone before me and was enabling me to get to the truth. Along the way, there were some great encouragements too. For example, where we could see particularly vulnerable kids were getting great support from their class teachers at school. Also, during my first week, the Lord was beginning to reveal a potential path through the challenges in answer to the direction word that George had given before I left. So that's the sort of first part, and the second set of verses from Philippians that I consider to be nuggets were an encouragement to me that were an encouragement to me are themed around the difference our walk with God should make in our lives. I've headed these God's transformation for us. Philippians 1 verse 9 and 10, and this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in depth of insight, so that you may discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Philippians 4:1. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. As part of Paul's general encouragement to the Philippians to press on in seeking to experience all that God had for them, in these verses he begins to paint the picture of what that looks like in terms of their character, attitudes and behaviour. He's saying this is what following Jesus is about. This is what others should see in you. So how is that relevant to the situation that I was in? What I'd been discovering in Kenya revealed that there were people involved in our work who weren't consistently demonstrating these characteristics. Unfortunately, there were examples of people being motivated by things other than sacrificial service to the Lord. I hadn't been noting down verses relevant to this from Philippians as I was focusing on the encouraging ones. But Paul also warned the Philippians of folk whose motivations were wrong. In Philippians 2, he talks about doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, and the importance of considering others better than ourselves. He says that by standing firm in one spirit, the Philippians will be giving a sign to those that oppose them that they will be destroyed. He speaks of a crooked and depraved world in which the Philippians should shine out like stars. In Philippians 4, he also speaks of those around the Philippians who live as enemies of Christ. He says their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. I recognized in some of the people I had to deal with in Kenya a warped focus. Even though they claimed to be following Jesus, their mind was on earthly things. Their selfish ambition meant they weren't considering others as more important than themselves. This is a serious issue if your role is to help and care and educate vulnerable children. In the second half of my visit, which was basically the first few days of this week, I was going to have to start challenging some of these wrong motivations and behaviours. And so some more testimony about how God was answering prayer. The Lord gave me wisdom and courage as the time came to begin directly challenging some of the key individuals about some of the things that had been happening and what needed to change. In particular, I had a critically important meeting with a key figure last Wednesday evening and requested of the UK committee of the charity and house group members particular prayer for this meeting. It began about 7 p.m. and continued for about 4.5 hours. God gave me the words to say, gave me courage to be very direct in my challenges, the patience to endure lengthy explanations and arguments presented in defence by the individual concerned, and where there was lack of agreement in interpretation of the facts, the inspiration to see how to present the way forward in a way that achieved the desired outcome. God even blessed me by giving me a sort of diagram to sketch out that was helpful for both of us in that situation. The meeting was largely amicable and was and ended in agreement about the way forward and prayer for each other. And I thank God that the other word from George, no conflict, had been realised. I'm on my last page. I'm conscious of how much we have to fit in today, so I'm speaking fast too. So Philippian Nuggets 3. Now the final set of verses from Philippians, centering on God's power in us. So we had God's destiny for us, and God's transformation for us, and then God's power in us. Philippians 1:27. Then I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Philippians 4:1. That is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious. This is a verse that we've just heard shared by Ruth. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians 4:14. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. For me, it was such a comfort throughout my trip to know that the Lord was with me and I could rely upon his power to enable me to stand firm on what was true and right and courageously pursue the next steps in the direction he was leading the work. Although there were things which were sad to discover, I had a lack of anxiety that could only have come from God. The complex knot of difficulties the evil one had tied was slowly being unravelled by a God who is a God of the impossible. Another challenge for us, if any of us are facing something that seems insurmountable, let's trust a loving God who can help us to be overcomers in those situations. And so to finish, just testimony of how the trip ended. After a hugely busy 10 days, I arranged the last meeting with the whole of the team at the airport prior to my flight. I'd already implemented changes to address some of the financial and management issues. And despite the challenges of my time there, I chose to share with them some of the encouragements I'd had. I met a lot of people involved or associated with our work over there. I got to know the children we support much better, and in my second week met with a number of the older college students and recent graduates. And it was great to see how they were making, how they were maturing and making a success of their lives and their walk with the Lord in many cases. I'd seen God's hand at work in many circumstances throughout my stay and recognised the good that has been done in many lives. In fact, I was even able to say that following those really busy 10 days and despite some of the problems discovered and faced, this had been one of my best trips to Kenya. Of particular blessing to me was the realisation that I could see a more positive future ahead. Whereas before the trip, the best finishing strong scenario I and the UK committee might have believed was for an ordered management of declining numbers and to find a partner to help with the last few children, I can now see something more inspiring. I believe, following the implementation of some immediate and future changes, that the experience of the children and young people we support will be greatly enhanced, and that we as a charity will be able to have an even more positive impact on their lives in the closing years of what we're doing. No doubt I and others will have an opportunity to share more about what we're actually doing over there in Kenya and share pictures and things like that and how the new arrangements are working out and the future plans as they become clearer. But tonight I just wanted to focus on what the last few weeks have been like for me and how I've seen God's hand at work in wonderful ways. Thank you for your prayers as a church and your ongoing support. Those five prayer requests that went to the house group were all answered in one or more ways. I'll just remind you of those. Continuing assurance that the Lord had gone ahead of me, definitely. Wisdom and discernment as I review the work there. Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit in any challenging conversations and circumstances. Personal protection and good health. Clarity of thought about God's direction for the future of the work. There's still more to do on that one, but the process started while I was over there. I didn't know whether I'd be able to do anything in terms of taking action, but achieved a lot more than I had anticipated. Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, includes at the end two little prayers that I can say amen to both of them. Philippians 4:20, to our God and Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. And Philippians 4:23, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Thank you.